that it's not that you granting us that opportunity. God, you are always waiting there for us. And Father, it's we need to make the time. We need to set aside that time to walk closer to you. And Father, when we do, we realize that the things of this world grow slowly dim. And the things that may so easily bother us 1 minute could be gone. And Father, I just pray that as we build that relationship, as we walk closer to you, that God, we will continue to just allow you to mold us and to make us. And Father, even as we realize this morning that the message doesn't change, and God, I pray that we'll continue to share the message of your Son wherever you find us and wherever we may be placed. And Father, you promised and you would be with us, and you also commanded to bloom where we're planted. Father, wherever that is, may we continue just to serve you well. God, just quiet our hearts and our minds tonight as we open up your word again. Father, we just thank you and give you the praise in your Son's name. Amen. As we often do, we pulled something a little deeper out of the morning message, and we're going to do that tonight. I had read some scriptures this morning prior to our taking of communion, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So if you turn there in your Bibles, if you would, we're going to look at that a little bit. We read the first six verses this morning, most of the six verses this morning. And Paul is, again, the second letter to Corinthians. So as we understand the second letter, he was addressing a lot of the issues and a lot of the things that were going on from the first letter. And as Paul moved on in his ministry, as he continued to minister, he developed a very genuine, deep appreciation and love for God. And I don't know, I can't say that it wasn't there right at the get-go, right in the start of his ministry. But I think as he went on, he began to understand. You see, there's a great difference between the knowledge of God and then knowing God. We know God as we experience and we walk with him through the hard times. We know God is good, but when there nothing else is, we realize how good he is. And so it's one of those experiential things. And I think as most of us here, we know that I pray that our spiritual life is deepened and our walk with God is strengthened because of the years we've walked with him. Yet in the midst of all that, it's very difficult at times to sometimes not be burdened with the things around us. Sometimes we get a hold of those things, or they get a hold of us, and we begin to continue to keep playing with them in our head. And I tell many people, our minds are great tools, but they can also be our worst enemies. Because of how we think, what we think, and what we linger on in our minds. And it has destroyed many people. The fact of just lingering on the negative, or lingering on the pains and the hurts of life. So Paul, in this text, he briefly touched on it as we read this morning. God is the one, as we saw this morning in verse 4, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who in image of God, should shine into them. And verse 5 says, but we preach Christ. We don't preach ourselves. And, you know, when you look at today's world and you look at today's preaching, you look at today's pulpits, there's a lot of it that is no longer preaching Christ. They're maybe preaching a concept of Christ, but they're not preaching Christ, period. And so when we do that, we also realize that that is the only thing that Paul is saying that is going to remove the blinders of understanding. And so if Christ is not preached, and it's almost like you can see a subtle way of things beginning to change. And again, change is good as long as it's good change. There's nothing wrong with the change. It's just a matter of what is changing. Why is it changing? What are the steps of the change? All those are very important to lead to a direction. And so Paul, in his life, he's really looking at this and saying, we preach Christ, not ourselves, period. Because in verse 5, he's servants for Jesus Christ. And again, verse 6, as we finish with this morning, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give that light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I'm going to take that phrase and just ponder it a minute. the understanding, and that's the shining the light. It's the light of understanding. God is shining that light to us, and he's giving us that concept. And as we see that concept here, it's the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So when you know Jesus Christ, you know God. And it's a knowledge, I believe, it's a knowledge that comes with our salvation. When you and I are saved, I mean, God takes the blinders off, and I believe we have that understanding of how much we need him. We accept him. And then he gives us this understanding of a God that the unsaved world cannot have. They can't, because this is only given by God once he removes the blinders. But when we move to one more verse, and we're going to tear apart verse 7 a little bit, and that's where we're going to land for a lot of the time tonight. We're going to pick it apart by phrases, read the whole verse, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may of God and not of us. When we look at this idea of a treasure in common clay or in common vessels, it's important to know, and we realize the treasure is Jesus Christ and the common clay vessel is you and I. Set your finger there and go to Ephesians chapter 3. Paul gives a very good illustration of this in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. In Ephesians, when Paul was writing to the church of Ephesus, he was writing to them and he was explaining God's plan for his life. And, you know, as I studied through this, I thought, what if I needed to write down God's plan for my life? What would I write? What would you write? What is God's plan for your life? And I thought, man, that's kind of neat that hopefully I could be moved by the Spirit of God to write down something good. Paul cheated. He had the Spirit of God telling him what to write. But when you look at verse 7 and 8, it says, "Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all the saints, is the grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." When asked the question, "Paul, what's God's plan for your life? What does God have in store?" Paul, you're just the earthen vessel, as he talked about in 2 Corinthians. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And so when you see that verse and you see how Paul explained it in Ephesians, the question is, how would we answer that same question? That treasure, Jesus Christ, is in us. Now, what's God's plan for your life? Think about that. Think through that. Because I think a lot of Christians are sort of just struggling with knowing what. And you've heard it say, what the will of God is for my life. Well, is the will of God the same as the plan of God? Yes. God's will is his plan. His plan is his will. And so when we want to know the will of God, we just got to know the plan. What did God plan for your life? So play with that question. I challenge you to think through that. I've been thinking through that for several days and this afternoon even, just saying, okay, what is God's plan for my life? And you know, you'll revisit that question every time there's something comes into your life. You'll revisit that question every time maybe you hit a milestone of a birthday or something happens and, you know, you lose your job because of downsizing or whatever. You start rethinking. Or when things start going in a direction that you just don't understand, you'll revisit, God, what is your plan for my life? I thought we were going here. I thought we were doing this. And all of a sudden, God's plans change. And it's okay if God changes the plan. Because after all, he's God, right? Does he ever change and it's a bad change? That's a tough question to answer, isn't it? Some of the things God changes in our life, for us, we don't think is good. But ultimately, God says, yeah, it is. You'll never figure it out, but it'll be okay. So we can't put common understanding to this. But Paul says in both places, Corinthians and Ephesians, we have this treasure. And this treasure is in us, the earthen vessel. But why did God choose us to carry out his plan. Because I'm under the impression that if God wanted to carry out the plan better, he should have just done it himself. Because he's using us. And we don't do it well all the time. We don't do it right all the time. And because we don't, but yet at the same time, it's God's will. God chose that. And for Paul, and again, he had the Spirit of God moving him, but still, his heart was so in tune with God in the end of his ministry. I think it was just an understanding that he gained, that it was the power of God that called me into preaching to the Gentiles. It was God's calling for my life. Now, does God only call into full-time ministry? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So again, what is God's call for your life? What is God's plan for your life? What is God's will for your life? They will all be the same. God's will, God's plan, and God's call will all be the same for your life. And Paul understood that. It's that calling that we see in the beginning of verse 7 that allows him to go down through the rest of this text and realize that, listen, his ministry wasn't easy because he was called from God. His ministry was rather difficult. And we mentioned that this morning. God told Ananias in Acts 9, I will show him the things that he will suffer for my name's sake. And so there are things that you and I are going to go through because we live in a broken world. That's one reason. There are things that we will face because we live here and they're here. We call them diseases. We call them broken bones. We call them poor decisions. We call them whatever. We'll have those because there are also things that we will go through in our life simply because we are going to stay faithful to Jesus Christ. Now, we haven't had a lot of that yet. We haven't had a lot of that experience here yet. But I truly believe if God tarries, we're going to experience some of those things. I think we're going to experience staying true to Christ and being bold in the witness. I think we're going to experience some of the things that Paul and them may have gone through. It's there in the third world countries. The voice of the martyrs talk about it all the time, how they suffer and how they die for the cause of Christ. And so Paul, and this is very important to realize, the treasure is easy to define, but man, what is the plan that God has for your life? Here, Paul adds to that plan and says the next phrase of verse 7, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Let that sink in. How many people are doing ministry on their own? How many churches has God left because of how they're doing church? Therefore, they're doing it on their own. The whole reason God gave us his Son to save us, eternal life, but leaves us on this earth so that his plan could be worked out through our lives so that he could be seen and known, because you're never going to make it on your own. And myself, full-time pastor, full-time chaplain, all those ministries, I just absolutely love what I do. I love to minister Christ to people. I believe I was called to do that. And I had a professor way back in my college days tell me, you better be sure of your calling, because at times your calling is all you're going to have to hang on to. He was a seasoned pastor. He knew. He knew. And so when you look at this, we all got a calling, right? You agreed it's just not for full-time people. So what is God's plan for your life? You got to know the plan, because it's the call and the will of God also. And sometimes that's all you're going to have to hang on to, because it's going to be hard when you go to work at a job. Maybe all of a sudden things aren't right. It's going to be hard to continue to go up and get up the next morning when your whole life has been turned upside down the day before. It's going to be hard to continue to faithfully serve God when everything around you says no. Be sure of your calling. Be sure of God's plan for your life. And that's very evident. As we go down in verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Shaken, cast down, but not destroyed. And the bottom line, Paul says, we faint not. We just don't quit. We don't give up. Why? Because he went back and was assured of his calling, God's plan, God's will for his life. And folks, it's going to get there. I am a firm believer that it is going to get there. And we need to make sure that we know that call and we know the plan, we know the will of God for our life. Very important that we do so. And verse 9 is an interesting verse. Persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. Set your finger there and go to Psalms, verse chapter 37. Psalm 37. We're going to look at a few verses in Psalm that are corresponding with this. And again, we know the very beginning part of Psalms. We studied through that, and it says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." And he goes on, and he talks about trusting in God, delighting in God, committing to God, resting in the Lord. But I want to go all the way down to verse 22. Verse 22, David is still talking in this, and he says, verse 22, "For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." How could Paul in 2 Corinthians write to the church in Corinth and say, I am persecuted, but I'm not forsaken? Well, because Paul knew the Old Testament. Paul knew the promise of God in Psalms. And Psalms, that promise, even though it says there, though they fall in verse 24, he shall not utterly be cast down. Why? For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Isn't that amazing? And when you got the plan of God for your life, when you know the will of God for your life, when you got the call of God for your life, he's going to hold you in the hollow of his hand, and no matter what anybody does, he's going to lift you up. He's going to hang on to you. He's going to make sure. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. That just means it's more doable. That just means we have the ability to do it more than what we would without him. And that promise that he has seen, basically David was talking of his own experience. He personally has never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed being begging bread. Doesn't mean that it never occurs. I mean, I'm not sure about your life, but there have been times the cupboard's been emptied. There's been times that things didn't match up, but yet God has always come through. And I remember one time in college, you know, we had it all figured out on paper how we were going to eat and pay the bills that month. Well, some reason it didn't work the way we planned. And we had 2 weeks, and we had basically a loaf of bread in the house. Now, mind you, I had four kids. Three and a half at that point. But a loaf of bread and butter and bread. And married student called in, sitting in the back of the class because I just got out of work, and the dean of men tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Come see me after class." Somebody had donated and had given 8 bags of groceries and brought them into his office. And he said, "I have no reason or no idea, but all I know is God put you on my heart." That's not forsaken. That's cast down, but not destroyed. And God has never, David said, "I have never seen his people beg for bread." And that's encouraging, isn't it? I'm telling you, because it's hard. It's tough. Just surviving in this world alone is not easy. But then when you survive against this world, it's even harder. And that's exactly what Paul is saying as he's persecuting. And I just love the way that Psalm 37 correlates, because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Paul says, it's hard, but I'm smiling. It's difficult, but I'm still not giving up. And in fact, it was interesting. And when Paul told Timothy that he knew his time was near, and he said, I'm ready, I've finished. He wasn't dead yet, but he knew he finished. He knew he was not going to get out of prison this time. How did Paul know that? I don't know. Paul just knew that he wasn't going to make it this time. But he still had that encouragement, still had that wanting to go forward. So I think it's very important as we see that in Psalms 37, 24, how that worked together in Paul's life and in also in David's life. But again, that's the bonus of knowing Scripture. Paul knew because of who he was prior to his salvation. He was part of the Sanhedrin. He was part of the law. He was a person who had to understand the Old Testament very, very, very well. In fact, it was told that he was one of the greatest or one of the best at knowing the Old Testament. That's why I personally believe he wrote the book of Hebrews. It took somebody with tremendous knowledge of the Old Testament to write the book of Hebrews. And so that's just my understanding. Can't prove it. I'll ask him when I get there if he penned Hebrews or not. Probably won't matter when by that time, but I'll ask him when I get there. But his encouragement at this moment is unbelievable because they will not faint. They should not faint. What's interesting is when he goes from that point, he then talks about bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Paul says, as I am getting old, as I am dying, I'm living. And that's a phrase that is amazing to me. As I'm dying, I'm living. You know, every child of God should say the same thing. This old man, this old body is dying, but I'm still living. I'm still living. Why? Because I get up in the morning. Because God has a purpose in my life. God has a calling and a plan and a will for my life every day. And every day we get into this purpose. We get into this calling of God. And those who are doing their best and doing it right, those steps are orchestrated by God. And there are times when you walk into a situation and you know God put you in that right place at that right time. And he also gave you the right things to say. Because if we depend not only on our own merits, we cannot depend on our own wisdom. How many of you have a very good recall up here? Whew, I'm terrible. I'm trying to help a guy. I'm trying to disciple a young guy. And he's full of questions. And I'm like, I know the verse. I'll get back to you where it's at. I know the verse. I can't recall the numbers anymore. I'll get you to the right church. I just don't know where the pew is yet. But you know what? When I am in a situation and somebody's in front of me, I don't forget nothing. Because God is the one who's orchestrated that moment. Listen, we can't do this on our own. Some people are afraid to get that question that they don't know. Well, you study the Bible, you study God, and when you get into that situation, God will bring it back. Because in John chapter 14, that's one of the rules of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Christ said to his disciples, I must go so that the Spirit of God will come. And he will come, and what's he going to do? He's going to recall. He's going to give you back what I've taught you. And that's you and me. He does the same thing. So he can't give you back something that you haven't studied. Listen, if it ain't in there, it ain't in there, right? I wish all through college it would just be there. But it's just not there. And the same thing with our spiritual life. We cannot expect to live this world, face what we are going to face, and then all of a sudden, I'll get it then, and I'll be okay then, and I'll stand strong then. No, you won't. I guarantee you won't. Because you're not already grounded. You're not already assured of the will, the call, and the plan of God. And you're going to fold like a napkin. Because life's hard. It hurts. And it struggles. That's why I think there are so many Christians struggling today. Is because they have to continue to build that up. You have to continue to have that. That's why Paul said they feigned night. Persecuted but not forsaken. And then again in Psalm 37 he added to that. Always dying. but yet living. And I really pray that that becomes a phrase of yours. It's like my new slogan, my phrase, I'm getting old, but I'm never going to get there. Right? Y'all look at me like, yeah, it's too late, right? I'm getting old, but I'm never going to get there, because once I get there, I'm done. You know, once I get there, I'm going to give up. Same with our spiritual life. We need to realize that we're dying, but yet we're living. I think what happens is when we allow the things of this world, because we are mortal, we're going to die, right? We're not going to live forever this side of heaven. Thank you, Lord. I do not want to live. Visited a lady who was 103 years old, and that poor saint, she was just as sharp as a tack, and I'm like, wow, I don't know how you did it, but I'm not going to go there. It was great. I mean, some of the stories are a little off the wall, but anyway, it was fun. When we see what Paul is teaching here and what God is doing, this is how Paul didn't quit. This is how we don't quit. It has to be that real in our lives, because Sunday school answers, if that's all you're banking on is just a real quick throw out a Sunday school answer, it's not going to work, even though it might be the right answer. This is an intimate relationship with God that you are building, that you're strengthening in, that you know the will, the call, and the plan of God for your life. And when you do that, basically you'll be able to say, as Paul said, always bearing about in the body, dying. Man, every day you wake up, you lose a little bit more, you know. Every day you wake up, you're one day closer. I heard the phrase, I've got more years behind me than I will ever have in front of me. Someone else said that today you are the oldest you ever were and the youngest you'll ever be. Every day, you get closer and closer. Every day, it keeps going that direction. And so we're dying every day. Don't be surprised one day you're dead, okay? You're getting there. Don't be surprised. But man, it's the life that Paul's talking about. Because don't let your spiritual life die with your physical life. Your physical life is going to hurt. It's going to be hard. It's going to be, Paul said, troubled on every side, perplexed, persecuted, forsaken, but not forsaken, cast down. Paul said, it's hard, but I'm alive. And he's alive simply because he knows the plan of God for his life. That's how important it is. I think it's very important for our lives that we have that. All the way down into verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. Again, that's the recipe. That's how we are able to keep on keeping on. We know that even though the old is going to get old, the inside is renewed and freshed every day. Live. Just go live life. Go live life with God. Don't focus on the news. Don't focus on the tragedies of our world. Don't focus on the aches and the pains and the things that are going on in your life. Go live. It's a mental state first. You've got to convince yourself that you're alive. Why? Because verse 6, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, to shine in your heart. You've got a knowledge of knowing him. Therefore, live. And I'm going to tell you, when you jump that hurdle, when you get there and you realize that I'm still alive. I always tell everybody, I'm still smelling the top of the flower instead of looking at the roots. You're still alive. And as you are still alive, live it. Live the plan that has for you. God has a plan for you every day. And not every day is the same. Not every day is different. But he says, we faint not. Our outward man perished. Inward man were renewed. And then he comes to a conclusion. This is the result. Once you get to work through all this text, once you work through all these verses and you realize that this earthen vessel is decaying, but yet the treasure that's in is my life. That treasure in is Christ, the life. He comes down to verse 17. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh far for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. When was the last time you thanked God for your heartache? When was the last time you thanked God for the afflictions? Listen, Paul's afflictions just weren't band-aids, okay? Stone, left for dead, stripes, beaten. imprisonment, his afflictions weren't just band-aids. They were life. And he says, but they were light. First of all, when have you looked at your afflictions as something light? Compared to the treasure in you, they are light. Why? Because Paul said, I'm going to compare my heartaches on earth to my eternal glory. I'm going to say that now it hurts, it's hard, but boy, you know what? There's a day that it's all going to be better. So I'm going to focus on the day that it's going to be better while I'm hurting it down here. You see, this was Paul's result of a mindset that knew things were going on. Then he finishes in verse 18 here, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's Paul's remedy for never giving up, never stopping, continuing on, and not just surviving, but thriving with a joy, because why? He's alive. He's alive to live another day, to work out the plan that God has for his life. And I wonder if we would wake up every morning with that mindset. Man, God, thank you. I'm alive to work out the plan you have for me today. I wonder if it would make your day a little better. I didn't say easier. It's not going to stop the things from rolling you over. But your mindset and your joy will never leave. And you'll be able, as Paul said, call the affliction light. And I just can't fathom going through, knowing what the scripture says that Paul went through, and him calling them, they're just light afflictions. And the only way they're light is because he compared them to the glory. Compared them in verse 18. Again, for what we don't see, that is more permanent. Things that are seen are temporal. It's the things that we go through, the things that we know, those things are going to come and go. People are going to come and go. Places are going to come and go. But God working in your heart and life, his plan, that's eternal. And that's worth the weight of glory. The eternal weight of glory. I don't think there's a number you can put to that weight, is there? Paul said it is far better. He told Timothy, he's fought his fight. He's ready. There's a crown of righteousness waiting for him. And there's a crown of righteousness waiting for everyone who finishes their race. And that's exciting. That's the only place and the only time that I'm glad we all win. Because doing that down on earth just messes you up. When nobody loses, everybody wins. Everybody gets a trophy. It's like, why even try hard to play hard? Because I'm going to get a trophy anyway, you know? Might as well sleep in the outfield. I'm still going to get a trophy. That just drives me nuts. Can you tell? When we get to heaven, we all win. And that's an amazing feat. That's going to be awesome. But that's what I wanted to bring you tonight. I think it's something that we need to really understand, something we need to bring back into our mindset. I mean, this is a familiar text, I'm sure, with most of us. But man, just the way that Paul presented it, just the way that Paul put it together, and then comparing the Old Testament, he fed off the Old Testament to his heart and life, and then he calls everything light. And I'm not there yet. I don't know about you, but I'm not there yet. I can't call light affliction. All I call is affliction. And I haven't seen light yet. But we haven't given up yet either, have we? See, we don't give up. And that's what I think Paul was referring to. And Paul was coming into this section of scripture about. Any questions or comments on any of that before we close our time together tonight? I know I'm not that good of a teacher. Come on now. Well, no. What I have chosen to do is I'm on my third Bible, and I have all my thoughts and notes in the Bible, and I'll leave those to my kids. So. Well, you know, God is, I would say that's because I was too stubborn just to listen the first time around. That's what makes the testimony interesting. We all got that interesting concept. But, you know, God is good. God blesses. When, and again, that phrase from this morning, God winked at their ignorance. I can't tell you how many times God's winked at me. I can't tell you how many times he's patiently waited for me just to get it. And he does that for all of us. But don't give up. Keep going. Keep striving. Because you just never know what God has. Again, the calling, the will, the plan of God is all the same. What is it? Go home and answer that question between you and God. Write it down. Write it in your journal. Write it down somewhere. What is that for you? Because it's amazing. It's amazing. Anyone else? All right, let's go ahead and close our time together tonight then. God, we do thank you for the testimonies of Paul and testimonies of all of us. Father, we all have that testimony that as we walk with you, that how you have encouraged and how you've picked us up and how you've carried us and put us down and just, God, you've done it all. And it's very clear the reason why you have a plan, a will, and a call for our lives is because that's how we tell your story. Because the excellency of your power is seen and known to the people. And God, I pray that we really think through what is that plan and call for our life, and that we really put it to heart and we continue every day, figure out, find out what the plan is, and then am I on the plan today? Am I staying where I need to be? And God, we just thank you for how you work in us and through us. And Father, we pray that you continue to give us the strength and the wisdom to do so. And we know you will. And pray this in your son's name. Amen. All righty. Thank you.